continue now with our series of stories of the holy Baal Shem Tov. The following tale was related by the tzaddik Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, or as he's known, the Ruzhiner. When the Baal Shem Tov first began to reveal himself, after it was decreed from heaven that the time had come for him to cease being a tzaddik nister, a concealed tzaddik, and become known for the world, he was living in the city of Brod. At that time, he stayed in the house of one of the rich men in the city, who was a chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. And that rich man had a son-in-law who hailed from the community, the city of Posen. And this young man was truly great in Torah and in good deeds, and was known far and wide for his wisdom. Once the Baal Shem Tov said to that young man, "Do you want to maybe travel with me to Posen? Because I'm thinking of journeying there. Maybe you'd like to come along and go back to your hometown for a visit." "Yes," said the young man, "it's a very good idea, for it's quite a while that I haven't seen my parents. In fact, it's going on 3 years. But first I've got to ask my father-in-law for permission." He asked his father-in-law, who gave his permission, saying it's a very good idea to go together with the holy Baal Shem Tov. Surely, on the way, you'll have an opportunity to see wonders, because when the Baal Shem Tov goes, it's not in vain. The young man went with great joy, and went to the Baal Shem Tov and said, "I'm ready to go with you." Baal Shem Tov began his journey on Thursday. And the young man thought that surely a journey from Brod to Pozna, which was a distance, a very great distance, would take many, many days. When they went out of the city, the young man beheld something wondrous. The wagon driver, the non-Jewish wagon driver, got up, tied the reins to the wagon, and the horse began going by itself, wherever it decides to go. And immediately the horse went off the beaten path, and went into a strange path. The young man got up and screamed, "Rebbe," to the Baal Shem Tov, "we're getting lost." The Baal Shem Tov smiled and said, "It's not necessary to tell the horse where to go." In the interim, the wagon driver had fallen asleep, and the horse is going in its way, in a place where nothing was seen, no animal, no birds, and the entire journey is taking place at a tremendous clip, totally beyond the realm of natural speed, for as is known, when the Baal Shem Tov would travel on his journey, he would go with Kfitzas HaDerech, with the way becoming shortened for him through this manner of travel. This young man saw this, and he was very astonished by this wondrous event. And so they went the entire Thursday till close to Mincha time. They reached a place where there were tall grasses, and there the horse stopped of its own accord. The Baal Shem Tov became very fervent and aflame with holiness, and the Baal Shem Tov then woke up the wagon driver and said to him, "Take this pot and look among the grass, and you will find a well with water, and bring us some well water to drink." The wagon driver did so. He looked for a while among the grasses until he finally found the well, and he took out the water from the well and he brought it to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov gave some of the water to this young man, and he said to him, "Make the bracha with tremendous kavona, with tremendous intent." And so he did, and so the Baal Shem Tov did as well. Afterwards, the Baal Shem Tov said to the wagon driver, go back to sleep like before, and he lied down and fell asleep again, and again the horse is going on a completely unknown way, a path where no person had ever trod before. Night is about to fall, and the young man does not know at all where they are going, because the entire way he did not see any place which was inhabited by humans. And he thought, surely they'll be spending Shabbos in the field. For the distance to Pozna was very great, and the young man was very upset by this, that he'd have to spend Shabbos in an environment without a minyan, without a congregation, without his fellow Jews, and this was very foreign to him. And so finally he asked the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, where are we going to be for Shabbos? And the Baal Shem Tov answered him, don't you know we're going to Pozen? And there will be a Mirtz Hashem for Shabbos. The young man wondered how this could possibly be, because he was from Pozen, and he knew not only the city, but also its environs, and all the cities and villages that surrounded it for a market distance. And even if they would have been 30, 40 miles away, he would have known where they were. And here he doesn't see anything at all. And he's wondering, how is it possible that they should possibly come to Pozen for Shabbos? And he's thinking they'll have to stay in the field, and something very difficult for him, for he was the son of a rich man and the son-in-law of a rich man, and being in such wilderness circumstances was totally foreign to him. And so they traveled the whole night, and when it came time to daven in the morning, the horse stopped by itself. After they davened, again the horse started going by itself, while the wagon driver sound asleep the whole way, for this is how it was, that the Baal Shem Tov would generally travel with a non-Jewish wagon driver who would sleep his way through the Baal Shem Tov's holy journeys. On the morrow, on Friday afternoon, the young man asks again the Baal Shem Tov, where are we going to be? Shabbos is starting to come. Baal Shem Tov said, didn't I tell you it will be Shabbos in Pozna? And the young man thought that the Baal Shem Tov is making sport of him. So they went on until it was a few hours before Shabbos. And finally, they see from the distance a village, a small village, and the young man is very happy, thinking that at least they'll be in the village and not under the sky for Shabbos. When they came to the village, the horse went past the whole village, did not stop at any houses, but did stop finally at the very edge of the village by a broken down hut, and the young man thinks that at least we'll stay in the hut, better than being in the field. The Baal Shem Tov went into this hut, and the young man followed him. Within the hut, there was a person filled with wounds, and his wife and children as well were wearing tattered clothing. And when the Baal Shem Tov opened the door to the hut, the man became filled, his host became filled with joy. He ran to the Baal Shem Tov, and he said to him, Shalom Alecho, peace be to you, my teacher and master. And they truly rejoiced in each other's presence, and they were together for a half hour, a private room. They were together for a half hour. Afterwards, they said goodbye to each other, and they left with great affection. The Baal Shem Tov entered the wagon again. The horse began going on its way, and the wagon driver is sleeping as before. The young man did not ask the Baal Shem Tov again where they're going to be for Shabbos, because he felt that there's no way that they were going to get to Pozen for Shabbos. And all of a sudden, he notices that the city of Pozen appears in the distance, and he sees from the distance also the house of his parents. And he said to the Baal Shem Tov, I did not believe that we would get here. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, yes, you didn't believe that we'd get here, but that's what I told you. We would be here for Shabbos, and indeed here we are for Shabbos, but I doubt whether you'll be by your parents for Shabbos. The young man smiled and he said, Rebbe, I see my parents' house in the distance. Why shouldn't I be there for Shabbos? The Baal Shem Tov was silent and did not answer him. In the city of Posen, there was a certain street that was known as the Student Street. There was the place where all the students would congregate and they would study in the college and the university by the various professors. And when they came within the city finally, the young man was so happy thinking that he's about to see his parents who he hadn't seen for almost 3 years. And all of a sudden, he sees that the horse has veered off the path again and has gone on the street, which is known as the Student Street, which was a terrible street for the Jews. For since the day of the city's founding, a Jew never trod on that street. Once a Jew innocently went on that street, and the students stoned him until he died. And when he saw that they were traveling on that street, he said with great fear and trepidation to the Baal Shem Tov, Rebbe, we're in a great danger. This horse is going in this street and soon will be stoned. The Baal Shem Tov once again smiled and said, up until now we did not tell the horse where to go, and also now we don't have to tell him where to go. He'll go where he should be going, and God will save us from these Gentile students. When these anti-Semitic students saw that the Jews were traveling on their street, they began to pick large stones. The young man sees this, and he's dreadfully afraid. And he thinks, oh, this is the end. On that street, there lived a Jewish tailor who was used by the students for sewing their clothing, and he lived there with seven of his assistants. And when the horse reached the tailor's house, it stopped at the door of the tailor's home. The tailor went out, and together with his workers, and he said to the Baal Shem Tov, what are you doing here? And the Baal Shem Tov said, we want to be here by you for Shabbos. The tailor said, well, for my part, I don't mind. But how could you be here? It's a great danger from all these people. If they find out, they're going to stone you. They only let me and these fellow Jewish tailors work here for them, but nobody else can possibly be on the street. Baal Shem Tov said, don't worry at all. Nothing at all will happen. And he and the young man went in, and they woke up first the wagon driver who brought in their possessions into the house, which was, and that time was the time of Mincha. The Baal Shem Tov asked the tailor if there is a minyan among his people. And the tailor answered that he, together with his workers, only number 8. And the Baal Shem Tov said to the young man, they are 8 and we are 2, so we have exactly a minyan. And so there were 2 reasons why this young man could not possibly go to see his parents. The first thing was he was deathly afraid of walking on that street. And the second thing was he was the 10th man for the minyan. How could he possibly leave them without a minyan? Immediately, the Baal Shem Tov began to daven before the Omud. He led the services, davening with great fervor. The people in the house were astonished at this tremendous holy sight, and even this young man who had seen previously the prayer of the Baal Shem Tov with great fervor, with great cleaving to God, nevertheless never beheld the Baal Shem Tov to pray with the same level and degree of intensity as he was praying at that time. a tumult arose among the Gentiles, for such chutzpah had never taken place that a Jew should enter their domain. And they began running in anger with great stones in their hands, wanting to stone, God forbid, the Baal Shem Tov and this young man. The Baal Shem Tov concluded his prayer, and the Gentiles surrounded the house in all directions, and they were totally surrounded by an angry mob. The tailor and his household thought that, God forbid, this is the end. They told the Baal Shem Tov that the whole house is surrounded with an angry mob bearing gigantic stones. The Baal Shem Tov went and stood by the entrance of the house, looked at the Gentiles who were about to attack, and they became filled with fear and trepidation. Their souls almost left their body in fear, and they began fleeing, dropping the stones, and they fled as if they were fleeing from the greatest terror. They came to the dean of the school, the greatest professor of all the professors there, and the professor looks at them and he sees that they're white with fright. And he asks them, why are you all so white? And they told him about this tremendous thing that had just happened. The Jews had come, two Jews had come, they were about to attack, and this man looked out on them, and they became totally filled with fear, that they never felt such fear in their life. The professor was a wise man, this dean of the students of the school, and he was knowledgeable in Hebrew as well, and knew even some Talmud and some Gemara, and he said, let me go myself to see this wondrous thing. One of the two. Either this man is a tremendous magician, or he's tremendously holy. The man went to the house of the tailor, and he found the Baal Shem Tov ushering in the Shabbos with great feeling and with great fervor and with much kavana. And the dean of the school stood there the entire time that the Baal Shem Tov ushered in the Shabbos, reciting the Kabbalah Shabbos and the Ma'ariv prayer. Afterwards, the Baal Shem Tov made Kiddush, with again in the same manner, and again the professor stayed the entire time of the Shabbos meal and the benching. The Baal Shem Tov said not a word to the man, nor did the man say anything, this dean say anything to the Baal Shem Tov. After benching, the dean asked the tailor to let him know tomorrow when the Baal Shem Tov is going to pray. The professor went home. The morning, the tailor called the great professor who came to the house, and he was in time for the beginning of the prayer to see how the Baal Shem Tov was davening. The professor remained the entire time of the prayers, and so he stood the entire time of the Suda Shabbos, and not saying anything to Baal Shem Tov, and again, the Baal Shem Tov not saying anything to him, but he did not take his eyes off the Baal Shem Tov and looked with great astonishment and with great respect at the Baal Shem Tov. After benching, once again, the professor said, please let me know when they're going to be doing the evening prayer. And again, he returned, and he was there again for Mincha, and for Shalosh Sudas, the third meal. The whole time he's standing and looking at the Baal Shem Tov, and he's as if glued to the spot in total awe of what is taking place. During the Shalosh Sudas meal, the Baal Shem Tov said before the young man a tremendously deep discourse, and this had a profound effect upon all the people who were there, and the professor, who was knowledgeable in Jewish learning, heard this tremendously deep discourse, and he was able to grasp it. After benching, the Baal Shem Tov davened Ma'ariv and made Havdalah. The professor is standing the whole time, not saying a word to the Baal Shem Tov. And again, the Baal Shem Tov not saying one word to this professor, and not even looking at him at all, as the Baal Shem Tov did not look at him at all throughout the entire Shabbos. After Havdalah, the Baal Shem Tov told the wagon driver to harness the horse to the wagon, and the Baal Shem Tov, with this young man, went into the wagon, and immediately the Baal Shem Tov returned to broaden the same manner of Kfisas HaDerech, in this very, very speedy, supernatural manner. And this young man is wondering, what has he gotten out of this trip? He turns to the Baal Shem Tov, brokenheartedly, and he says, "Tell me, Holy Rebbe, I see and I understand that the purpose of my going wasn't to see my parents. I was hoping to see them after all these years, hoping to see my father, my mother, my brothers, sisters. And here I've seen their house. I got so close, and yet not close enough. What's happening over here? Please at least tell me and explain to me the purpose of this trip, and this way I will at least be able to understand what transpired along the way. And there are three things that I want to ask you, if you could please be so kind as to explain to me. First of all, why did the horse stop among the tall grasses for taking a drink of water from that well? I saw that was something very special, and you told me to make the bracha with great kavana, with great intent. Surely there was some purpose in that. The second thing, what was this great joy at this poor gentleman who took you into his broken hut, this man who was filled with wounds, and you rejoiced with him and he rejoiced with you? What happened over there? And also, why were we in the tailor's house for Shabbos? Surely this was a purpose. You said you're going for Shabbos to Posen. We were there, and you ended up at the tailor. Surely this was the main purpose of your journey. The Baal Shem Tov answered the young man and said to him, two of the things I will tell you right now. I will answer two of your questions. And the third thing, what I did in Posen, this will be revealed to you in time to come, as it will be the appropriate time for you to know it. The Baal Shem Tov told him, with regard to our stopping in the grass, in that grass where we stopped, there were buried two Jews who had gotten lost, and robbers, murderers, attacked them, killed them, and it's been many years where their souls could not go up above because no person trod over there, and had some Jew passed by, he would have purified and elevated the place, and they would have had an aliyah, they would have had an ascent, and they would have been able to ascend to heaven. Through our making the bracha, the blessing over the water, with the proper kavana, these two souls finally were able to ascend above. Now, with regard to your second question about the old man in that hut, you should know that in every generation there is the Mashiach of that generation. And if that generation merits, the man who is Mashiach is ready to become revealed. And if God forbid not, then the man passes away. That old man was ready to be Mashiach, and he had wanted that I stay by him for Shabbos. But I had seen that he was going to pass away during the course of Shabbos, and I did not want to have the pain of seeing him pass away on Shabbos, and so we spent that half hour together, and then I left. And the reason why I wasn't Posen, that you will find as the years go by. On Monday, the Baal Shem Tov and this young man were already back in Brod, and the whole city was agog at the fact of the Baal Shem Tov's traveling to Poznan and back in 4 days, something which would take ordinary mortals weeks, if not months. This young man continued his study of Torah day and night, as he did before, and so he did for many, many years. Finally, one day he said to his father-in-law, I would like to start doing some business, because it's good, as our sages say, to occupy oneself in Torah as well as together with some physical occupation, some way of making a living. His father-in-law said, yes, it's a good idea. I also agree. And here is a princely sum of money. And he gave it to this young man, his son-in-law, who went to a distant country to buy merchandise, which he was intent on selling upon his return and making a profit. In his travels, this young man came Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, to a particular city, and he stayed over there for Shabbos. On the morrow, on Shabbos, he asked his host if there's a rabbi in their city. The host said, we have a tremendous rabbi, a tremendous genius, a well-known tzaddik, who is known as Rabbi Avram Ger Tzaddik, the righteous proselyte. The young man went to greet the rabbi, and when he came to the man's house, he was very taken by the presence of the rabbi. They began speaking in Torah, and the young man saw that this rabbi is truly a tremendous genius, and they spoke in Torah till the time of Mincha. They davened, and the rabbi invited the young man to be by him for a shalosh shudas, for the third meal. In the middle of the meal, the young man asked the rabbi to say some words of Torah. And the rabbi began saying a drosha. And as he began saying the drosha, this young man was beside himself. The rabbi said to him, why are you so beside yourself? Did you never hear such a type of drosha, such a type of speech? So the young man said, on the contrary, I'm wondering, where did you get this? Because years and years ago, I heard this exact same speech from the holy Baal Shem Tov when he was in Poznan in the student street at the house of the tailor. When the rabbi heard this, he said, and you are that young man that were then with the Baal Shem Tov? Yes, he said, I am that young man. If so, he said, let me tell you, said the rabbi, that I am that professor that stood before the Baal Shem Tov that entire Shabbos. And the entire purpose of the Baal Shem Tov to Poznan was for my sake to lift up my soul from the depths of impurity and unholiness and to revitalize my soul with the light of life and Judaism. And with his tremendous prayer, each word went into the very depths of my heart, burning out the unholiness and putting within me powers of holiness. And after that event, I fled the students. I ran off to this place. I became a proselyte. And because I heard this Torah from the Baal Shem Tov, this is very precious to me, because he is the one that enabled me to enter into the holy path of Judaism. And when an important guest comes, it is my custom to regale him with these very, very special words of Torah. And the young man now had his answer to the third question, which he had asked the Baal Shem Tov, what was the Baal Shem Tov's purpose of traveling to Poznan for Shabbos.